Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to ATRT3 Community Work Party meeting number 2 on June 12, 2019 at 1300 UTC. Members attending the call today are Erica, Cheryl, Yap, Michael, Pat, and from ICANN.org, we have Jennifer, Nagar, and Brenda. Today's call is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to please state your name before speaking for the record. And I'll send it over to Michael and Erica. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Brenda. And I figure, Michael, I can just get us started and we can switch back and forth a little bit like last time too. So just as an intro, from our last call till now, in our last chat, we had done a little bit of work on preparing for Marrakesh, but I know we focused quite a bit on the terms of reference. So Michael and I had wanted to try to fit in at least one more call prior to Marrakesh to focus primarily on preparing for the sessions that we're going to have there while we have the opportunity. And then if we have some time, also digging a little bit into the resource requests. And I guess just to prepare everyone, since the last call we've done a little bit of work on them. There've been, I guess for the Marrakesh prep doc, we've added in some questions and done a bit of work that I think we circulated to the group that about a week or so ago, but just wanted to follow up here and kind of kick off that discussion a little bit more to see, you know, flesh out if there's any other questions or topics or anything else that we want to look into from there. So if Michael, if there's anything you want to add, I'm thinking we could just go take a look in that Marrakesh doc and maybe just go through the different, starting with each session, just review what we've added and then have folks provide any input if there's anything else that we want to put in or if things look good as is.
Yeah, let's jump right in.
Cool. Great. So if we can, if you're able to pull up that perfect, even quicker than I could finish the sentence. All right. So I can, I'll start with the ALAC session. Then we wrote out what the sessions that we have so far, just to kind of prepare any questions ahead of time. And part of this came from our conversation last week, I believe that was. The weeks are already blending together a little bit for me. But as you can see, I figure going through each section, these are the questions that we have prepped so far. Some of them are kind of included in each section because it applies to each group based on the topics of what we're looking into. Okay, great. Thanks, Cheryl. And yeah, I think there's a couple I might need to go in and update the dates we have, but that we have for these because I put that in a little while ago. So for the ALEC session, we have, about 5 questions so far. I'll just kind of run through them and then pause if anyone wants to add, if anyone has feedback or wants to add anything else, if that makes sense. So the first question we have was around just perceptions of transparency within PDPs, if there's any representation challenges or other areas where accountability can be improved. Second is looking for any formalized transparency processes that might exist within the ALAC and if they've ever been, you know, how they work, if they've been revised, you know, what that kind of looks like within this community. Third, and Michael, I believe this was the one that came from you in particular, if the group has ever made any use of transparency procedures at ICANN, such as a DIDP request. Fourth was thoughts on the Information Transparency Initiative or the Open Data Initiative. And then lastly, just digging into the questions around the NOMCOM, what procedures they have in place for electing representatives. So that's just a quick run through. I want to leave that open if those look like good questions to anyone, if we feel like anything's missing from that conversation, anything that we're overlooking here. Or also just, I guess, Michael, too, if you have anything to add to that as well, feel free to just jump in.
Hi, this is Michael Karanikas for the record. Thanks for starting us off there. Cheryl has noted in the chat that that session has now changed to one on, the time of that has changed, which is good to know, and we should, we'll update that when we get the final details. We sort of started to sketch out in these questions mostly around opinions towards it's partly around assessing their opinions and experiences with these mechanisms, as well as getting factual information about things like their own processes. Our scope of work document is fairly broad, but we were hoping to cover both of those aspects and in all five of the different work areas that we have. But really what we want for this conversation is to see if there's anything that we're missing, or to see how our approach harmonizes with what other folks are doing, or with what other folks envision of the process. So ideally we can throw it open now. I see Pat has a hand up. Should we just start the discussion?
So this is Pat. I had a specific question around something that you've got in your first bullet. So I'm happy to wait.
No, I think unless Erica has any objection, I'd suggest we push on ahead, because that's the main purpose of the call.
Yeah, no objection from me. This is Erica.
Okay, so when you say, do you feel there are representation challenges? What are you driving at with that one?
I think that that's meant to get at how they feel the multi-stakeholder process is working insofar as their positions are being adequately reflected and represented, and the degree to which they feel that these processes have, that the outcomes of these processes are properly accountable to the positions and expressions of the stakeholders are feeding in. And as I think about that, I realize that we're probably going to have to be a little bit careful around scope and not getting dragged too far deeper into a rabbit hole of, what is multi-stakeholderism, blah, blah, blah. But fundamentally, I think that what we're trying to get at there was basically their perception of the level of accountability within these processes, or the degree to which they feel that these processes remain an adequate vehicle for reflecting community positions or for channeling community positions. But that said, it's possible that phrasing needs to be further refined in order to differentiate from broader questions about multi-stakeholderism. Is that what you were getting at, or am I just projecting?
So, Michael, I think that's from what I'm hearing, I think it's spot on, because when I read that, my first thought was, are we asking if we feel that the ALAC is actually representing an at-large approach, or do we have people within the ALAC that are taking their own personal positions and not really representing end users or the at-large community? And so that's what I read into that statement there, and that may just be my, that may be me being slanted that way in my thoughts, but that's what I read into it.
Actually, as I look back on it, I note that that question is not, so a lot of these questions are cut and pasted between the different meetings, and that one is not. as I look down the document. So it is possible that you're actually getting at that, and that that's a specific question about ALAC and representation and accountability to their own community. And that's, right. I think that is a very good question to start pushing into. But would welcome other thoughts. Erica?
Hey, this is Erica. I guess my question, I think that's a really good point. My question, and maybe this is me just not fully wrapping my head around it yet, is that the direction we want to go with that question in terms of representing the community, or if that community, if it's digging more into, like you said, Michael, multi-stakeholderism, or if we're looking more at the side of representing that community specifically and those challenges. Because I could see the benefits of both, but I think in terms of revising that, I wasn't quite sure, and maybe we kind of left it open-ended for other input, but I wasn't quite sure in which direction we were starting to lean there in terms of that.
Hi, Michael Karanikas for the record. Yeah, I don't remember how this question evolved or grew. But what I'd suggest at this point is, why don't we carve it off into two questions from the two different sentences, and changing that second question to something along the lines of like, what representation challenges does ALAC face? And how does it attempt to address those challenges in representing the diverse global internet community while maintaining accountability to this broad and diverse stakeholder group? Something along those lines. Which again, Erica, we don't, I see the cursor there. We don't have to edit this on the fly, but we can basically, I think, come to an understanding that we're going to split it into two and push more clearly around specific accountability challenges and not towards broader multi-stakeholder questions. Pardon me one sec, sorry. Sorry about that. Does that sound like a good solution to folks? I see a check mark from Pat. Why don't we just as a placeholder now sort of just push it down to one and just highlight that to say that we'll take a look at that later. Moving further along, now that hopefully folks have had a chance to review the others, are there other areas of inquiry that you think, are we hitting the right notes on the others, or are there things that we've left out? I am seeing silence and going to interpret that as meaning that we have done an excellent job at capturing these areas of inquiry and it's completely thorough. We can also take it to the list and further feedback would be welcome. Fundamentally, you know, I think that a decent amount of these conversations will, I expect, be guided as the conversation goes. So fundamentally, you know, I think that there will be follow-ups to this. And as long as we have questions that will begin conversations on each of the main areas of focus that we have. I think that's a good starting point. I do have one question actually for our co-chairs that are here, which is, are we being too ambitious here? We now have six questions. There are, you know, this time is going to be divided between the different subgroups. Are we too ambitious in these areas of inquiry, or is this a reasonable amount of material to expect to cover in the time that we have?
Well, Cheryl here. In the case of the meeting with the ALAC, you've got the longest time there. That's an hour you've got with the ALAC and at large. I don't think it's unreasonable because, for example, in the matter of the last question, you'll simply be referred to the standing operational procedures for the ALAC. You know, it's part of their, 30 pages of rules of procedure. It's also enshrined in the, in parts of the ICANN bylaws as to how the representation on the nominating committee is selected. So that's the real short answer, you know. It'll be, you know, look at page 27. In this document, here's the link. So, you know, that's simple. So, you know, you'll gain there. Other ones such as, you know, if they made use of the document informational, DIDP stuff, again, going to be a really, really short answer there. So again, I think you've got enough time. I'm concerned that you're going to be still editing these. I think you need to bring it to closure pretty quickly because we really ought to be getting these questions out to each of the groups. In the case of the large advisory committee, they work all the time in at three languages at least. Certainly in an ICANN meeting, they work in English, French and Spanish simultaneously. There's a great advantage if questions like this can be on their own advertised agenda so that those who don't work in English have time to get the interpretation of these words totally confused and ask clarifying questions at the beginning, remembering that you'll be speaking in English and working with headsets through real-time interpretation on site.
Yeah, that's a useful thing to remember. Thanks, Cheryl. And in terms of the edits, I think that we can, so far it's just a very minor. We can finish the, we can rewrite that question, the one that we have thus far, right after the call, basically. I think that I think it is good to know that we should be working to finalize, and the language issue as well is an important thing to bear in mind. Should we then move on to the SAC one? Thank you. These may be a little bit quicker insofar as I don't think that we have, most of these are just cut and pasted from the previous ones. And I don't think that we have as many, any specific questions for the, or any unique questions, I should say, for the SAC, CCNSO, or GAC. I believe they're just cut and pasted from the generally applicable ones previously. And in fact, on the SAC at the moment, it's just these two. And I think we could also extend, we could also add in, does SAC not have NOMCOM representatives?
No, no, that ESSAC sends a single representative to the nominating committee.
I don't know what you, excuse me.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I don't know what you mean with NOMCOM representative for any, I mean, do you mean in ESSAC or outgoing?
I thought he meant sitting on the nominating committee.
Yes.
There is one, yes.
Okay. The question about what procedures do you have in place for electing a NOMCOM representative is relevant.
All the procedures, there's an ESSAC operation manual, and which is actually continuously revised, and basically it tells you what the procedure is. I guess that will be the answer. And probably want to add that to the resource request. So that's. The basic answer is that somebody is chosen. If there's a vote inside ESSAC when there's more than one candidate. But that's. Okay. That's already been trying to answer what should be answered in over 2 weeks.
In the meeting, yeah. So okay, so that'll be helpful. So I've pasted in the other questions from the last one that I think are equally applicable here, as you guys probably saw. Bit of editing on the fly, and that leaves us with a basically parallel structure. So the real question, and I think we're probably going to do the same thing for CCNSO and GAC, because in none of these last three cases do we have anything unique to their stake, unique to these groups.
Well, I could tell you for ESSAC that we, as I said last time, I mean, there's never been a formal DIDP request from ESSAC, but one of the individuals has done it as a private person, and I'm not sure whether he will be in Marrakesh, so that might actually need to be done by email or whatever.
Sure. Hi, Michael Karanikas again, for the record. Just with regard to the question about the DIDP requests, that was less meant to be about whether the institution has or the group has, and whether any of the individual participants has. It's really, that was in my mind more targeted at soliciting individual feedback from the people that are going to be there, not necessarily as their speaking for the ESSAC.
Okay.
But I see in the chat, Pat has asked, should the ESSAC have term limits when they limit their, would that limit their number of members? I'm not sure if that's would that or when that. But that's, I guess, a proposed question. Okay, I'm going to take that as a proposed question. We should ask them whether they should have term limits. We can potentially fit that in under accountability, in terms of accountability to the community. Perhaps we could phrase that in a way of, has ESSAC ever considered instituting term limits? And what are your thoughts about the implications of such a move?
If you're going to ask a question on term limits to ESSAC, I would encourage you writing a question on term limits that can be asked of each of the advisory committees and indeed the support organisations you're meeting with, because you will find there a significant difference between them. And you'll find the ability to tease out different reasons for where there is similarity or lack of similarity between them. So I would ask that question, but I'd ask the question of everybody.
That's thanks, Cheryl. That seems like a fair point. I see Pat's hand is up. Could I just ask one other question in terms of, and while Pat, you can address this in your statement. You're talking about term limits for the ESSAC leadership, presumably, right?
No, this is Pat. I'm talking about ESSAC membership. And so basically, when you become a member, appointed to the member of ESSAC, it's an appointment for as long as you want to be on ESSAC, and they limit their numbers. And so it leaves, when I think about that, it kind of leaves the same people are addressing the problems, and you don't have a refresh of either technical capabilities or skills. And so from a transparency standpoint, how are they adding to the team in a way that doesn't actually overwhelm their work they're trying to achieve while bringing in new ideas, new people, and getting turnover? Because I know that one of the things they've talked about recently is getting a more diverse population within the ESSAC. And it's hard to do that when you have perceived limited seats and you have no term limits. And so that's kind of where I'm going with that one, Michael.
Okay, that's interesting. But when you phrase it that way, it seems like a question that is specific to the ESSAC.
Yeah.
So for example, you know, ALAC, I'm not sure, ALAC wouldn't have the same kind of issue in terms of membership term limits. There would be potential issues around leadership term limits for ALAC, but I'm pretty sure they have those.
The ALAC answer will be similar to ESSAC and different to ESSAC. And so I think it's one of those questions worthwhile asking.
All right. Well, that's good. So I will.
And the same question to the GAC, because, you know, the GAC doesn't have term limits to membership, obviously, but it does have it to leadership. But the ESSAC and the ALAC are open membership bodies. They are numerically limited bodies, or in the case of the ESSAC, limited by a different rationale, a different reasoning of their membership selection. So you've got one AC with a highly exclusive and a rationale for the exclusivity, managing its size. And you've got, in the case of the ALAC, a defined, there are only 15 people serving in the ALAC at any time. And how those people get there sometimes has a forced churn in it, but that doesn't have term limits as such. Your questioning there is important. It'll peel back into different things that, you know, some of them were uncovered in Workstream on accountability, both Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, but particularly Workstream 2. I think, you know, we can't assume. We should ask.
Okay. Could I then ask Cheryl, could I ask you to direct your attention to the top of the thing? Is that phrasing still correct for ALAC?
Top of what thing?
Oh, sorry, the screen right now, it says, has ALAC ever considered instituting term limits, and what impact do you think that might have?
All right, you can try. I mean, the answer has considered is going to be very different to why it doesn't. The answer, has it ever been considered? The answer is yes, in each of its two reviews. You might find it good. But it'll open up. It'll be enough there to, you know, tease out. But see how you go.
I mean, we could also just say, what impact would term limits, do you think that the institution of term limits would be a beneficial change if the...
Again, it's going to be, it depends on your membership versus leadership. In the 15-person ALAC, you have limitation in the amount of time anyone can... You can't be appointed chair of the ALAC without being reappointed every 2 years these days. It used to be 1 year terms, now it's 2 years terms. And the leadership team, which can only be drawn from the 15 people, does get refreshed every year. But there is no term limit while you're on the ALAC. You can be appointed to the leadership team by the ALAC. So your question there isn't going to dig out that information, but we can make sure that the conversation digs out that information. So you might want to say something like, you know, has your advisory committee got formal and institutionalized term limits for either for membership and or leadership? That might be more generic, but allow for greater open-ended answering.
Could I ask you to repeat that last bit again?
Sure. Has your advisory committee got formalised or instituted term limits either for membership or leadership? And there you'll get different but useful answers, certainly from each of the advisory committees, and I would believe you would also have a useful answer from the support organisations as well.
That's good. So we can really just, so we can use that same phrasing for the SM and the others as well, which is very useful. So unless there is anything else on this one specifically, what I think now is that we're basically going to, for the last two, I'm going to, we can talk about CCNSO and GAC. And I'm just going to kind of paste in on the fly this revised language. Because as I said, I do think that these questions are equally applicable. And maybe we can just briefly talk about, note also in this list that RSSAC is missing. Is that by chance? That is by error. So we can correct that. Is that by choice? No, that is an oversight on our part. So we can certainly add that in. Maybe we can quickly go through the last three and ask if there are specific considerations for them. If not, we can push it back over to the last thing. So now that we're all extremely familiar with these questions, does anybody have any specific thoughts about how they might apply to CCNSO or how they should be adapted or new areas that we should be plugging in specific for this group? Going once, going twice. All right, I think we can keep this as is for the CCNSO. What about the GAC? Someone was mentioning something around NomCom with GAC in the chat earlier, I think. GAC has a seat.
Yeah, that was me.
Yep. GAC, sorry, please go on, Cheryl, please.
No, I was going to say it's in the chat, but basically your question that you were asking about nominating committee, I would still ask that, but you need to know that in the case of the GAC, whilst they have a, I just think it's very, very inappropriate to ask a question that we know the answer will be. Well, the answer will be, if we ask exactly the same question, the GAC has a seat on the nominating committee. It does not appoint anyone to it. So there is a seat allocated on the nominating committee for the Government Advisory Committee, and for very good reasons and a rationale that has been given to the rest of the ICANN community and previous ATRTs quite clearly. AGAC often says, you know, if it's what we've said before, go look it up. And that's fair enough too. It has not been occupied. However, they also have an active working group on GAC interaction and whether or not it should and could occupy the nominating committee seat. So it's actually active work that GAC is doing. And so you may want to perhaps ask a question there in terms of that, rather as to at what point is the Government Advisory Committee currently at in their consideration of how they do or don't participate in nominating committee. And then we'll get some links and feedback from the most recent work with the their internal working group, which will be meeting and reporting at Marrakesh. So, you know, they should literally have a document or a report that they can give us access to.
All right, that's very helpful. And it's been rephrased. We can move now along to this recently created RSSAC section and ask briefly if there are any specific thoughts to this one.
Again, this one is one that we need to recognise the new work of RSAC. So purely cutting and pasting of the questions here, we probably want to make sure that amongst all the things we have prepared for, that we look at the proposed new structure and function for the new look of RSAC. And of course, in that case, things like procedures on selecting and electing nominating committee representatives will come out of that, and the way that their formalised membership, etc., will also be out of that. So there's probably a document you want to have a little read through before you get there as well. So when you ask the question, it's with deference to knowing what their current plans out for public comment are.
Okay. So
yeah, thanks for that, Pat. Good.
Okay. So that's, so I see Jeff has his hand up.
Yeah, I was pointing out that the structure, I want to point out the structure of RSAC is quite different than all the other ACs. I mean, they have this, they have the RSAC proper, which are the root operators, and then there's the Arcus Caucus, which is basically anybody who shows up and shows interest, and which is kind of advisory function to the root operators committee, and then there are various working groups which are mostly led by RSAC operator people and filled by the RSAC caucus people. So that's kind of a complicated business, and they're really in the business RSAC is really in the business of trying to restructure that, because it used to be very strict. And I think that the RSAC documents Pat Kane mentions in the chat, they are not, that don't really have to do with ISAC as an organization, but more in to do with how the root server operators are working together. I mean, there's a, you always have to watch that you're not, that the root server operators are really a different group than ISAC. So that's kind of a, should not really try not to, we try to untangle these issues, because that that was also in the latest ISAC review from a year ago. There was quite some complaints that these functions were mixed. So.
Okay, thanks, Pat. So these are, these sound like important considerations to bear in mind for the conversation.
Right.
Yes, and very useful from that perspective. Are we good with the language as is? I guess on both of these counts, is the language all right of this, or and can that stay? And I'm not seeing people jumping in with corrections to the language. So I think that we can take that as an almost, bearing in mind all of the feedback that we've gotten in terms of important areas to bear in mind in as the conversation goes, I think that we can take this document as almost completed, subject to revision of the second bullet regarding ALAC, which I'll revise after this call. Erica, do you want to take us through the next agenda item in the time that we have left?
Hey, this is Erica. I think maybe we could spending about 10, I mean, obviously that's the time we have left, but about 10 minutes going through this. I don't know how much we'll be able to get done now. Just in the sense, I feel like some of all the conversation ties into everything, right? But some of the conversation that will come from Marrakesh, I think, will feed into this as well. But just to review, from our last call, we had, and prior to that, we've had some discussion, right, about the resource requests that we have and wanting to fine-tune those a little bit more because they've been a little bit vague, and we had some discussion in our last call that helped to clarify some of that. And Michael and I circulated that document as well with some edits. So I just wanted to take a little bit of time today to go through some of those proposed edits. Whether we decide on those today, we can do that. If not, just flagging them for folks to maybe read through and provide some more input later if we decide we need that as well, just, on the list, taking it there. So if that sounds good to everyone, we can just kind of scroll down in the document a little bit. I think there should be a section. Let's see when we get to it. The resource requests and actions. So in here, just under, I guess, starting with community and long-term planning, we had this conversation in our last call about, what specific five-year plan we wanted to look at and how we wanted to approach that. So these are the edits we made for that, based on that conversation. I'm sure folks are reading this right now, but just kind of specifying which five-year plan we're looking at and then looking at the development on the five-year plan going forward after the 2016 to 2020 five-year plan. So I want to pause to see if folks have any input on that resource request in particular, or if it sounds better than the last time based on our last conversation. So just taking a look, I don't see any hands going up immediately, but if anyone has input, feel free to just pop your hand up. Okay, I'm not seeing anything, so I'm taking it as us being okay with that change. Yap, I see your mic is open. Did you have something you wanted to add there? Because I know you had some feedback on this before.
No, I just, I looked at it earlier, and I think it's fine. I mean, it's I don't know how to get more precise, or even, but still, it is the way it is. Oh, it's fine. I just happened mic open by accident.
No problem. Thanks for jumping in anyway, though. I appreciate it. Great. Okay, so it sounds like we're pretty good with that for now, and you know, I assume all of these will be kind of, I mean, it's always going to be an ongoing process, but it sounds like we have a good start with that for now. Going down, oh, Tola, go ahead. Sorry, before I jump ahead, I see you.
Have okay, sorry, hand. Apologies. I just want to have some clarification. How do we go about asking this question? Are we going to distribute the questions per members, or we allow the work party leaders to ask the question? Thank you. Just came to my mind. I want to clarify.
This is Erica. Tola, just to clarify, do you mean for in the sessions where we were holding meetings with the
community? Yes, Tola again for the record. Each time we have a couple of questions for each of the SO and ACs, and as we're discussing, it just came to my mind, I need to know, how do we go about the questions? Are we going to assign a couple of numbers to each members, or we allow only the work party leaders or the chairman and co-chair to lead the questions, or is going to be open to any one of us? Thank you. Back to you, Michael.
Great. Thank you, Tola. Actually, maybe Cheryl or Pat, you can weigh in on this too. My, depending on how, if you know the format, or Michael, you might know this too, just based on previous experience, I would be completely open to kind of assigning people numbers and having us all distribute that. But yeah, I don't know, Michael, if you have thoughts on that, or Cheryl and Pat, just based on how the format is looking so far, especially if we're planning to send these ahead of time to the different communities.
Well, I'm happy to jump in. Most of the ACs and SOs, if they're having a meeting with another group in ICANN, do take a prep for that. And so the advantage of having questions and things to an SO or an AC before we meet with them is that they can decide how they will respond. And so some of them will allocate, you know, answers to particular questions from particular people. You'll find, you know, that's a very formal approach that you'll see definitely, for example, out of the Government Advisory Committee. You know, it'll be, you know, insert name of country reacting to any particular one of the questions we pose. And then in the case of most of the advisory committees, that will be, you know, followed on by the ability for any of the members of that advisory committee or support organisation to also ask questions, interact, give more information, et cetera, et cetera. So the answer is it's really up to the entity we're visiting. We do need to make sure that there is plenty of time if they've got, you know, a large group or a group that will have a larger number of people interacting or wanting to interact, that's properly managed. It's usually smart to have queue management and recognition of speakers done by someone who knows everyone in the room. So you tend to have a shepherd, I guess, often the chair, but not always the chair. Could be a vice chair or someone else of the entity working with us. And the same thing is here. I would suggest that the questions are posed, modified on the fly or embellished in the room by whoever is in our review team from that entity. So in the case of the meeting with ESSAC, you know, you should have the questions restated, proposed, reviewed, if not by Pat and I, certainly by the people who have been sent to NOMCOM from ESSAC. It allows an ownership. The case of the ALAC, you know, there's four people to choose from. But I'm not sure that that's answered it adequately. The other thing is, do remember you were going to also put surveys out, and some of these questions may find their way onto the surveys, and a survey will be a much more general tool where, for example, in the case of the GNSO, members of the constituencies may wish to respond. And in the case of the at-large advisory committee, in other words, entities which have connections to wider communities, those communities may answer. So the regional at-large organisations, the at-large structures or individual members may respond to a survey. But there's going to be less of those in the room for these face-to-face interactions. That was a very long answer, but I hope I've covered what you were trying to tease.
Hey, this is Erica. Actually, that was helpful, Cheryl. So I think that does answer it for us. So I appreciate that. And I think, actually, on that note with surveys, diving back into the resource requests, this was a kind of a list of resource requests and actions from us, kind of brainstorming. So if we're okay with just kind of reviewing those real quick and moving back into that, and I'm assuming that's okay. If we just scroll down in this doc, I added a few recommendations for actions that we can take related to some surveys or the request NOMCOM selection procedures from the different SOACs. That's part of the questions we'll be asking in Marrakesh. And then further down, there's also a suggestion for a community service survey on the PDPs as well. And I think that's obviously something that we'll flesh out more. But I just wanted to highlight those in particular, since we had added some changes since the last call, based on our discussion and conversation. And I think the action items are probably something we can save for a little bit later. I think the part that was that we were really working through that required a little bit more detail was the 5-year plan. So, and it sounds like folks are okay with that so far. And from here, anything else that's been added also kind of touches on some of the questions we'll be adding in Marrakesh. So that, like I said, I think that that's going to just come in down the line as those things need to take shape. But from my perspective, it seems like we're in a pretty good position. I know we have about 6 minutes left, so I will stop talking for a moment. Just having gone through that, if there's any thoughts on just what we've flagged here for the resource requests, or if folks are pretty much in agreement, that we're in a good shape here, and we'll see in terms of the action items what we're going to dive into further after we start these conversations in Marrakesh. Daniel, go ahead.
It's Daniel for the record. I would like to it's a kind of inquiry or a suggestion. Could the questions be outlined that probably this is for survey questions? And then this is the answer to shall be having like a kind of dialogue questions, probably Q&A questions with the respective SOs or SAs. I think that would help. Thank you.
Cheryl, I don't know if you're going to answer. Are you going to answer directly to Daniel, or do you want to?
No, I'm not answering. I'm on the different.
Okay. Perfect. Then Daniel, just to understand. I think I misunderstood your question. For the questions for the surveys, you wanted them, do you mean like outline them now in terms of what that might look like, or based on what the questions we have now? I didn't quite understand, so I apologize, Daniel, if you don't mind repeating.
Yeah, Daniel, for the record, because like some of the questions may be applying to the survey, it would be good like to split the questions that these questions are for the survey, and then these ones, yeah, do not apply for the survey. Back to Erica.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I don't think we've talked too much about what we will or won't include for that yet. So I'm not sure if we want to do that now. Michael, too, I'm curious for your thoughts on that too. I think it's a good point. We don't want to repeat too much stuff, but at the same time, we also haven't had too much of a discussion, and I hesitate to leave the questions open ahead of Marrakesh, just because we do want to finalize those. I'm also not sure if it's a problem to have some stuff that's a little bit repeating in this, because, you know, it's a chance for a little bit more detail. Michael, I'm curious for your thoughts on that too, if that makes sense or.
Yeah, the main reason as to why I'm making that survey is Daniel for the record, is that this will also help to avoid repetitions of questions respectively, because you'll find that a question is coming up in the survey, and again, the same question coming in the discussion. So I think if the questions are split, it can help. I'm open for thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, Daniel, that's a good point. And I think anything going forward, any communication we're sending out, including the questions we worked on today, but I think any other questions or surveys that we come up with, we should definitely share. With the review team as a whole, but also with reviews, and just to make sure that we're not, because I know we've discussed that there's, you know, quite a bit of overlap with what we're doing. So I think to make sure that we're not all sending out the same questions, you know, definitely flagging that down the line as those are developed, to make sure we're not asking a variation of the same thing as everyone else. So I think if that makes sense, then I agree with you there. I think that we'll need to work on that going forward, just to make sure we're not overwhelming people with the same questions, but also getting each what we need.
If I may, Erica, Cheryl here, one of the things that Pat and I are keen to have you all do on our day on the 23rd is look at where you can get some harmonisation in certain things, and developing surveys is certainly one of those things. So we want you to start all working together in some aspects of your work, and making sure that the single survey, because each of the work parties shouldn't be sending out their own surveys, you'll get very short shift from community if you send out five surveys when one will do, but they obviously it needs to be a well and carefully crafted set of questions. I don't have a problem with a certain amount of repetition from what you ask and discover in your face-to-face interactions and in the written surveys. In fact, that could be quite useful. Because it is going to, not exclusively, but to a degree, different audiences. Your survey, I believe, is likely to be opened for wider response than your interactions in Marrakesh or in any other, you know, webinar or face-to-face meeting that may or may not get planned. One of the things that strikes me looking at this list is whether or not you should be asking a question about the PDPs and how the ICANN community you're talking to believes their views are being considered or relevant, how relevant they are to the process of developing a PDP. The reason I would suggest that's a very worthy thing to have a conversation about is that that was one of the most common, concerns and complaints that has been dealt with by previous ATRTs, and a goodly number of the recommendations right down. I mean, these are things that you all probably think are just normal good practices, but, you know, right down to a minimum time for a policy development process, you know, the 40 days you're used to, you know, that came out of implementation of recommendations from ATRT1 because of concerns in the community. The fact that there is a standardised set of expectations on how community input is managed by staff. What happens to public comments? How they're processed? How are they analysed? Who responds to them? What's the recording and the accessibility to other people to look at how that all happens? That's all come out of ATRT1 and ATRT2. So it's not a thing to be avoided in your face-to-face interactions even. So you might want to have that as an additional question. They may come out just in, you know, and what have you got for us? Remember, your questions for Marrakesh shouldn't take up all the time. You should have, you know, these are some questions we would like to cover, but we also would like to hear from you on anything you want to raise. That's important. Where the survey is very much, these are things you want answered. And you usually just put, you know, a space at the bottom if, you know, would you like to tell us anything else type stuff.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Daniel. I think that's okay with me, and I'm happy with the response. Thank you.
Okay, this is Erica. And just to reiterate what Daniel said, thank you, Cheryl. That was very helpful. I also know that we are a few minutes over now, so I think from here, Michael and I have a few things just to edit and share with the group today. So unless there's any last minute things, I think we could wrap up the call and take just some of these action items, take them to the list and finalize things. I also know we'll be meeting tonight, so I guess we also might have an opportunity to chat if time allows on that call as well. Great, so Michael, unless you object, I think we could probably wrap up here and take things to the list, and also we'll also chat with everyone tonight. And many thanks to all of you for taking time to come and attend this call. It was very helpful.
Thanks all.
Thanks all.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.